97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're with us this morning. We are live on X. We are live on Rumble. And maybe, just maybe, live on Facebook again at some point. I am told that my jail sentence, and of course there's no early release from Facebook jail, my jail sentence is over supposedly in two more days. So that would be what, on Thursday maybe? We don't know. Thursday or Friday.
Have they assigned you like a parole officer where they're going to be closely monitoring your account? And if you step just a little bit out of line, right back to jail for you.
All they told me was his name is Zuck and that I may or may not be hearing from him.
Never heard of him.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, if that happens, we will put the show back up on Facebook, hopefully on Thursday or Friday. I won't be here Friday. So Kim St. Ange will have to be staring at you on Facebook.
That is my last name, Kim St. Ange.
Ange. That's right. So you will be here on Friday and Monday. We are taking a little trip for a college visit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized what you were doing.
Yeah, and you know, we're she's a junior, so we're trying to let her see some of these different places before she commits to something.
Would you be happy if she went to this particular university you will be visiting?
I don't know. I'll tell you after I visit it. As a sports fan, no. But as a parent who wants the daughter to be happy, it would be all right.
Is it a Kentucky rival?
It is.
Oh.
Yes. That would be, that
wow.
It would be potentially heartbreaking in one respect. But that's okay. That's okay.
She's not going there to play sports.
She's going to try out for the football team or the basketball team, Carl.
No, she's not.
She can do whatever she wants. She and they should not discriminate, and they should let her play. Equity, Carl.
Anyway, yeah, I don't want to disparage the University of Arkansas, but it's not my top sports choice for sure.
I know someone that went there that just graduated and had a fantastic time.
I'm sure. It looks like a great place to be. And more details on that next week after I've had a chance to go down and visit. We will. We'll see. Anyway, coming up, we're going to get to Todd Pyra, host of Fox and Friends, first. Get his take on that little hissy fit that Corinne Jean-Pierre threw in the White House press briefing room yesterday. She does not like to be corrected, particularly by Peter Ducey. So we'll get to that for you. Bottom of the hour. Remember those horrible, scary ghost guns? I mean, what could be worse than a scary black rifle? How about a ghost gun? Remind you of Casper the Friendly Ghost? No, it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's some scary ghost from a horror movie, some Stephen King movie. As if that guy's not scary enough. It's in the front of the Supreme Court today. Supreme Court today is starting to hear cases for its next session, and that is first up. And we're going to talk to one of the guys who's at the Supreme Court this morning about this case in 2A Tuesday at the bottom of the hour. But right now, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Is this incompetence or do they just not care?
You know, we can't say that this incompetence, because incompetence implies that you do care.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard is like, it's not incompetence, because if you're incompetent, you're at least trying to make the right point. I think she's right. She's talking about FEMA.
The administration has money to send to Lebanon without Congress coming back. But Congress does have to come back to approve money to send to people in North Carolina. Do I have that right?
Do I have that right? No. The very basis of your question is misinformation, says Corinne Jean-Pierre. And about 40 seconds later, she slams her little notebook that she has to read from closed and storms out of the room. Because it's only misinformation if they disagree with it.
Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
And excuse me, but I have no idea. No, that's not what she said. She said, I grew up in a middle-class family. Wait, no, that's not what she said. But what she said equally made zero sense to anybody who was listening.
Finally, in the last couple of days, the vice president goes on some show called Call Her Daddy or Call Your Daddy or Who's
Call
Your
Daddy.
or something.
As only John Kennedy can put it, talking about Kamala dodging hard questions, and then she lands up on CBS and actually gets a hard question. Actually gets a difficult question, and they're all very unhappy about it, right? And I love John Kennedy in general anyway, but I thought he made a great point about that. Let's see, The View, Howard Stern.
Stephen Colbert,
and Who's Your Daddy?
Finally, the last couple of days, the vice president goes on some show called Call Her Daddy or Call Your Daddy or Who's
Call
Your
Me
Daddy.
Daddy
or something. Call Me Daddy. I like Who's Your Daddy better. And among other things, she's talking about tampons. You know, the people in Appalachia right now don't give a function about tampons. They need water. They need to get out. I'm sorry. I'll say it again. You cannot make this stuff up, but everything I just said is factual.
Yeah, it's like her tweet about Lebanon, right?
No, it's true. She's very tone deaf, and it's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing from other countries' perspectives, looking in and seeing how we're handling this natural disaster. Well, and she's talking about tampons.
We haven't gotten to enough of Bill Whitaker nailing her on a variety of issues, including flip-flopping on every single issue she's ever talked about. And she has no excuse for it except for the fact that, well, now she's running for president and her advisors told her that dog won't hunt. Listen.
I'll tell you what your critics and the columnists say.
Okay.
They say that the reason so many voters don't know you is that you have changed your position on so many things. You were against fracking, now you're for it. You supported looser immigration policies, now you're tightening them up. You were for Medicare for all, now you're not. So many that people don't truly know what you believe or what you stand for, and I know you've heard that.
In the last 4 years, I have been Vice President of the United States, and I have been traveling our country. And I have been listening to folks and seeking what is possible in terms of common ground. I believe in building consensus. We are a diverse people, geographically, regionally, in terms of where we are in our backgrounds. And what the American people do want is that we have leaders who can build consensus, where we can figure out compromise and understand it's not a bad thing as long as you don't compromise your values.
So if your value is that you don't believe in fracking and you think it's leading to climate change, why would you change your position on that?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that any gun is a bad gun, why would you suddenly change your position on that and claim that you're a gun owner and you're not against the Second Amendment after you tried to ban handguns when you were the DA in San Francisco? You wanted a ban on handguns. No, you still believe all of the same things. You just know it's not politically popular and you want to get elected president.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now lying about it. It's not about building consensus. She didn't stop believing any of that crap.
Right. I think I've never run for political office, and I feel like I could have handled that question far better than she did.
What would you have said?
I would have said, I understand why people might feel that way, but over the years here, as I've been vice president, I've talked to a lot of people, I've learned new information that has changed my views on some things, but here's what's important to know, and that is that if something is right for the country, I'm willing to look into that, and here are a few cases where I've decided that this is actually what's best for our country, and I'm always going to put my country first.
Hmm.
Not saying that's the best answer, but that's just what came off the top of my head. But the point is, I think that was better than what she said. Oh, it's about consensus.
I'm building consensus. I need people to vote for me right now, and I don't want them to be pissed off at me.
Would you like a roll with that word salad?
That's absolutely the truth. Little bit of homemade salad dressing on there, and she's good to go. That salad speech. All right, coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends. First, he probably just finished breakfast or a nap there on the couch in his luxurious office at Fox. We'll get to him coming up. Stay tuned.
The administration has money to send to Lebanon without Congress coming back. But Congress does have to come back to approve money to send to people in North Carolina. Do I have that right?
Here's what I'm going to be very clear about. The president and the vice president has had a robust whole of government response to this.
Wow. Very intense drums right there. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Todd, are your eardrums still intact?
Three things. One, what the heck is happening? Two, there are other guests who have intro music, because implied in that sounder that you had, a sounder bumper, I don't know what they're called on radio anymore. I haven't worked in radio since college in 1999. It implied, like, now for some really good intro music. Well, that implies that you have more than just me. And third, we'll get to the topic. But first, answer one and two.
We do have themes for guests other than you, but that's just a random bumper we play because Carl plays the best bump music in St. Louis radio.
So. Yeah, well, that's unacceptable. I thought I was special. I know you have Griffy on. You got to have a special one for Griff?
We do have a special one for Griff.
You want to hear it?
Come on. You want to let Todd, hear it.
Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
See? Carl's a master at that stuff. You kidding me?
That was pretty good. All right, I'll allow it. Did you want to ask me a question on the politics, or?
I don't know if I should or not.
I think we covered everything.
I think we did.
All right. That sounds like a good interview. Thanks, Todd.
Wrap it up.
That's good.
That sounds like a Kamala interview. The only thing I didn't say is, well, I'm lawn and middle class, and we have a plan, guys.
Consensus.
Yes, and we're going to tax the rich because they don't pay their fair share.
That's about it. You know, I said earlier, I'll give them credit when they do it. Occasionally, somebody in the mainstream media is willing to ask hard questions. Shannon Bream did a great job the other day of carrying the water for CBS because Nora O'Donnell wouldn't. And then Bill Whitaker last night, surprisingly, asked some pretty hard questions of Kamala Harris.
Credit where credit is due.
Yes.
I mean, we call them out when they don't do that, so we have to give them credit when they do. But that's unfortunately the situation we're in. We shouldn't have to do any of this. This should be the norm. And I think maybe 30 years ago it was, but it definitely is not the case. So, but kudos to Bill Whitaker. I mean, he pressed her on that and she had nothing. I wonder if she just assumed, because everybody kowtows to her in the mainstream media and gives her easy questions, if this too was going to be easy.
Right.
You know, because Dana Bash kind of didn't follow up necessarily, and she still did a horrible job in the Dana Bash interview. I wonder if she thought this would be more of the same, and it wasn't. Like, Bill Whitaker was not playing.
He also asked Tim Walz some tough questions, but you know who I really need to give kudos to is Shannon Bream. She knocked that interview out of the park with Tim Walz.
Yeah, and I think it was important. And again, kudos to Tim Walz for doing it. I know, again, going back to what I said 30 seconds ago, we have a situation where you only do the interviews that you like, but Tim Walz did sit down, and I thought Shannon Bream was very good. She asked him the tough questions. She let him answer and give his policy positions. But when he lied or when he said something that just wasn't right, that she should have, she followed up on it. And she got him to admit in that interview that he is calling Trump a liar, and that Trump, in his view and the way he's campaigning, is going to sign a national abortion ban. That sets it up for Trump to consistently say, no, I am not. You are lying. And everything I've said so far says I'm not going to sign a national abortion ban. And if you can paint the other side as a liar, that's what you do in a court of law, right?
Yeah.
You can attack their credibility. And I thought that was a great, and you know, that's Shannon Bream. She's a lawyer, you know.
Yeah.
I thought she did a nice job with that.
That's true. You know, Todd, I know you guys were in the minute or two we got left here covering this North Carolina story. I saw where Hannity had some really great interviews with some people on the ground, and they all seem to be questioning where FEMA is even though we're told FEMA's doing everything it can.
I think that's what makes Karine Jean-Pierre's response yesterday so offensive during the press conference, is that you are allowed to ask these questions. The White House may not like that you're asking these questions, but these are questions that when people are suffering, you're allowed to ask. You may have a finance. I mean, look, Elon Musk called out Pete Buttigieg and said, why are we not allowed to land? Why are we having problems? And Pete Buttigieg answered, and Elon Musk says, you know, it was an acceptable answer. But the fact of the matter is the White House doesn't even want you asking the questions. And that's a huge problem. That's not democracy. That's Russia. And, you know, for the party that's, oh, Russia, 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 you're implementing these policies and procedures. And this is just the latest example. So you really can't do that.
No, you can't. And her slamming the little white book with all of her notes in it and storming out kind of tells you all you need to know there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really was a temper tantrum on the day that she, quote unquote, got a promotion. I don't know what she was promoted to, but, you know, or why she was promoted, because it's not like she's done a bang-up job so far, but senior, I digress.
Senior advisor, they've now named her to Joe Biden. She's a senior advisor.
I'm just going to float this out there. Nobody stays in that position that long. I wonder why she's staying that long. I think a lot of questions can be asked about that, and people can draw their own conclusions.
That's a good one. Todd Pyro, have a great morning, my friend. Thank you.
And a great week. Peace.
Yep. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk 2A Tuesday. Guns, ghost guns in front of the Supreme Court this morning. We're going to get to it next. All right. So the Supreme Court is back in session this week, and they are taking... Of course, their first arguments they're hearing this morning, and one of the ones that they're going to be hearing, of course, is regarding ghost guns. Remember the big, scary ghost guns? And the question is, these are guns that are supposedly guns you can make at home and build with a printer. And I question just how much of this actually goes on. But it is going to be heard in front of the Supreme Court today about whether or not the ATF can stop somebody from doing this. And we're trying to get a hold of our guest right now, who's actually up there and is going to be in the Supreme Court when they hear these arguments today. And my guess is if he's in the building, he may be having trouble. Maybe he had to turn his phone over to somebody or something in order to get in there. Yeah, but anyway, we're trying to call him right now, Cody Wilson. He's with the 3D printing industry, and he is in favor of people being able to go home. And in fact, on his website, you can actually go on there on the Defense Distributed, and you can download the instructions or whatever that you would give to your printer to make like the lower for an AR-15. That's not the whole gun. Obviously, it takes a metal barrel, takes a trigger mechanism. This would be like the plastic frame that you would build for the AR-15. But Carl, let's go ahead and get to the intro, because
if you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
I love this because this is the headline on MSDNC this morning. I want you to hear this. I wish I had ominous Jaws music under this. This is kind of what we need. The Supreme Court approved deadly bump stocks. Now it's considering ghost guns, which, of course, they put in parentheses, right? Ghost guns. Here's the thing. What's so scary about that other than the word ghost? Yeah, I love this. The Supreme Court didn't approve deadly bump stocks. What they said was it's not a gun, right? It's an accessory. That's all they ruled, is that it's something you attach to a gun, but it's not a gun. And therefore, the ATF didn't have the right to outright ban it administratively, which is what they did. And now they want to do the same thing with ghost guns. Well, what are they worried about, right? Well, they want every gun that you buy in America to be traceable. So here's the thing. You come down to St. Louis, for example, Kim St. Ange, and you want to go to the ball game with your family, or you're going to WWF. Is it WWF or WWE, Carl? WWE over here at the Enterprise Center last night. And you park your car down here on Olive Street because it's cheaper than having to pay to get in the garage. And when you come back, your window is broken out and your gun is missing. You had a gun in there. Let's say you didn't store it securely, or you stored it in one of those portable safes and they used wire cutters to cut the wire and they took the darn thing anyway. So your gun is now out there floating in the criminal world. And you go to the police and you report that it's stolen. Well, the police don't keep a registry of your serial number, right? They're not supposed to keep they're supposed to know which store it was sold at, but they're not supposed to have your personal information. They're not supposed to have that. That's called a registry.
Well, that's what they wanted to do in the state of Illinois.
Right. They want you to register. Ultimately, the goal of the left in this country is to get you to register your name. It's not about the gun so much as knowing who owns the gun. But if your gun is stolen, then some criminal up in wherever they happen to be goes in and robs a store, heaven forbid shoots somebody with your gun, they're going to trace that gun back and try to find the person that bought it or find out where it was sold. And ultimately, that rarely ever leads to the person who's responsible for the shooting because in most cases, they didn't buy it legally. So what are they worried about with ghost guns? Well, they're worried about the fact that these ghost guns, for the most part, when they're printed up and made at home, don't have a serial number on them. Now, I'm a gun guy. I love guns.
I have to ask a clarifying question.
Yes,
is it a Glock like Kamala Harrison's, who she says she's fired at a shooting range?
I have asked that question myself many times. And I think that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I have that sound here, Carl. If my computer's up over here, listen.
A hard left turn here, but you recently surprised people when you said that you are a gun owner. And then if someone came into your
that
house...
That was not the first time I've talked about it. That's not the first time I've talked about it.
So what kind of gun do you own, and when and why did you get it?
I have a Glock, and I've had it for quite some time. And, I mean... Look, Bill, my background is in law enforcement, and so there you go.
Have you ever fired it?
Yes. Of course I have. At a shooting range? Yes, of course I have.
What kind of Glock? What model Glock is it? Is what I'd like to know.
She didn't answer the question why she got it.
No, and did you own the Glock when you lived in San Francisco, when you tried to ban them for everybody else? Because she did support an effort that got overturned in court to ban handguns in the city of San Francisco. Ban all handguns in the city of San Francisco.
Maybe she should have to give her gun back, the mandatory buyback program that she also was a proponent of.
Well, ultimately, if you're a gun owner, you realize that it's not the gun that kills people. It's the criminal that pulls the trigger and points it in the wrong direction that kills people. If her gun has never killed anyone, she should realize that. It's the same thing with the ghost gun thing. I'm not quite sure why it's so important that they have to have a serial number on every gun that's produced in the United States. I don't think that's probably constitutional, and maybe that's what the court should rule on, and maybe that's the basis on which they'll make this ghost gun ruling today. But building a gun is not... It's not easy. I mean, you can go buy the parts, but you have to have some sort of, if you're building it from scratch, like you have a 3D printer and you download this stuff from Defense Distributed and you print out the lower for an AR-15, you still have to buy the trigger. You still have to buy the barrel. You still have to drill. You have to be able to know where and how to drill the holes to accommodate the trigger. You have to make sure that everything's tight and it's not going to blow up when you fire the first round through it. So it's not an easy process, but they want you to believe, because the word ghost is scary, that this is something that they have to control. And if they don't control it, your life is at risk. The number of ghost guns they find, if they find them, are stolen, because I can tell you for darn sure there aren't thugs walking around buying 3D printers to produce guns. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening.
How much does a 3D printer even cost?
I have
where
no
you'd
idea.
Be able to do that?
I don't know. But it'd be certainly be cheaper to go on a street corner somewhere in North St. Louis and buy a gun for $50 than to invest in to go to all the trouble of trying to build one and sell them. So they can't track down who potentially made that gun. So I went the long way there to explain that, because we were trying to get Cody Wilson on the phone. My guess
is get as low as $70.
He's tied up in court.
But could that really do everything you needed?
Yeah, I mean,
Amazon's having a sale today.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I question what something at that price range could really
could do.
Yeah,
but you need a pretty substantial one, I would imagine, to print something that big.
Not on the Prime deal days.
Maybe not.
You have to wait. The criminals are waiting.
Wait until Black Friday, then you're going to get the good deal.
Glock Friday.
Glock Friday. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, they want to stop people from being able to do this at home, and that's what the issue will be before the Supreme Court today. I guess we'll hear more about arguments a little later in the day, but I wanted you to be aware that that's going on. If we can get Cody Wilson, maybe later in the week after he's in court today, we will, because I'd love to get him on here and talk about that. My guess is he's in the court building and can't get access to his gun because it's 8:45 in D.C. and at 9 o'clock is when those arguments start. So that's probably got a lot to do with it. All right, Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Well, it's no secret that men favor Donald Trump over Kamala Harris. The Kamala Harris campaign really trying to get more of that male vote. You want to know who's behind the latest campaign?
Well, I mean, I think if it was me, I'd turn to the porn industry.
Well, they have, I guess.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I'm Holly Randall, and I've been working in the adult industry for over 25 years. I need to address the threat of Project 2025. Over 140 Trump appointees got together and wrote a roadmap for his next term in office and decided that one of their top priorities is to outlaw pornography. The only thing that outlawing porn will do is drive it underground, and that's when things get dangerous. So visit handsoffmyporn.com. Learn the facts, listen to women, and vote.
In case you're wondering, that right there is real. That's a porn star. She's part of this new ad campaign for Kamala Harris called Hands Off My Porn. Nearly 20 of these porn stars are going to appear on adult content websites, specifically in the swing states. So that is the way that I guess they're going to try to get these men who tend to favor Donald Trump, and rightfully so, to try to change their vote for Kamala Harris. Even though Kamala Harris at every opportunity bashes men, including on that Call Me Daddy podcast where the host Alex Cooper says to Kamala, you know, can you think of, if they're talking about abortion, can you think of any law that is impacting men's bodies?
Yeah, maybe other than the Selective Service sign up at 18.
Yeah, that.
Potential
must have,
of going
must have
to
forgotten
war,
about that.
There's that, potentially. I wonder if they really... They must just sit around and think, what can we use to try to scare people into voting for her next? What? Let's see. He's going to destroy democracy. That didn't work. He'll arrest all of his opponents. That didn't work. Oh, I've got it. Let's convince all of his male supporters, that if they elect him, he will close, shut down pornography websites across the world.
Not only that, they're also saying on this handsoffmyporn.com, an actual website now, that they're going to throw everybody in jail. I'm sorry, I must have missed when Donald Trump said that on the campaign trail.
Or you missed when Donald Trump did that the first time he was president,
because
he was clearly rounding up people who watch porn and putting them in jail the first time around.
Right. And it's so funny because their main focus on this campaign is the threat of Project 2025. Guys, how many times does Trump need to say that he did not have any role in writing that? That is something the Heritage Foundation put out. I agree with it. Even though Trump has tried to distance himself, he says it goes too far.
You would think that these sex workers would be happy with Donald Trump because he's not going to tax tips. I mean, all those dollar bills they're making during the day, getting stuck in the old brassiere or whatever they're wearing, they don't have to pay taxes on it if Donald Trump's president.
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on porn. I think it's become a major problem in society, but it's just dumbfounding to me that this is what they're doing. This is a $100,000 campaign. I don't know who's funding this. I don't know if Kamala Harris knew about this, if her staffers orchestrated this and reached out to these porn stars, or if this was just something they decided to do. I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but it's weird and kind of laughable, to be honest.
Quite frankly, if Trump paid Stormy Daniels not to talk about whatever happened between them, but he clearly has no problem with porn stars.
It's funny how quickly they are to judge him for this, and then look what they're doing. Think about the juxtaposition between this, okay? You have Donald Trump going on Dave Ramsey and doing all these official interviews, right? Then you have our current vice president running for president, who was basically appointed by the president, who just decided to step down. She's going on a sex podcast, and they're now doing a campaign with porn stars. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
This is where we're at in America in 2024.
I'm not selecting the leader of the free world based on whether or not he or she is a saint, but I'm not going to vote for somebody who's clearly a moron in a lot of ways.
Right.
Unable to answer a simple question from Bill Whitaker. Several simple questions last night. All you get is word salad. I refuse to do that. And they're not going to scare anybody into making them do that. They're not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if the word moron offends you. Idiot was already taken. There's something missing there. I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure she's book smart, but she doesn't have a lot of common sense. And we're going into a war potentially in the Middle East. That's the last thing this country needs. Coming up, we'll check in with our buddy Griff Jenkins, who's live in Swannanoa, North Carolina.
Get more at 971talk.com.